tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 9th of June 2026 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today I've got two articles that I will try to fit in. I did have one that I was going to try and fit in yesterday, but I wasn't actually able to. And they're both really to do with this two-tier society that we have and the end results of these diversity, equity and inclusion policies that we have that end up with not enough black people being arrested for at one end of the scale because they want to get down the numbers of black people that are in prison, and at the other end of the scale you have white people being left to bleed out on the street because somebody has accused them of racism. And the article that I have got today comes out after this inquiry into this Valdo Calacane. Valdo Calacane was a black man. He was schizophrenic. He murdered three white people. I think it was in Sheffield or Nottingham. And the reason why he wasn't sectioned is because apparently black people get sectioned rather a lot. And they want to ensure an equal outcome, I guess, for black people medically. So they have to, two-thirds of black people that should be sectioned should not be sectioned in order to get an equitable outcome. And this is the problem that we have with the police. They want equitable outcomes, and the only way to do that means that four-fifths of black people that are guilty of violent crimes, the police would just have to not arrest them in the first place. And then you could have an equitable outcome. You would only have the same number of black people being prosecuted for violent crimes as their percentage of the population. You see, there are differences between people groups. That statistically, there are differences. And that's the reason for these outcomes being different, is because there are statistical differences in behaviour between people groups. It's not because white people are being racist towards them. Like, it's not because doctors are being racist to black people. That's not the reason why more black people are sectioned. More black people are sectioned because they're more likely to be schizophrenic. Let's have a look at what GB News have to say about this. The title is NHS Doctors Pressured Not to Section Psychotic Black Patients Due to Fears of Appearing Racist. NHS psychiatrists are being discouraged from detaining psychotic black patients under the Mental Health Act amidst concerns about appearing racist. Nine serving and former NHS mental health professionals have come forward to report experiencing pressure to reduce the number of black individuals they section in an effort to address perceived overrepresentation in detention statistics. And it's exactly the same as what we were hearing about in our Thought Criminals podcast last week with the new Youth Justice white paper that's being headed by David Lammy. And because there's an overrepresentation of black youth in the justice system, there's a lot of pressure to reduce that number. And their wizard-wheeze idea of how to reduce that number is to just stop putting them in prison in the first place. And it's the same thing here. Their idea of getting down the numbers of black people that are psychotic and require being sectioned is to just not section them in the first place. The health service has been accused of introducing positive discrimination measures in response to data showing black people are 3.5 times more likely to face compulsory detention than their white counterparts. And of course, people that don't really understand these things, they will look at that and they will say, well, surely there must be something going wrong there. Black people shouldn't be locked up three times more than white people. We're all born the same. We're all a blank slate when we're born, aren't we? Well, no, we're not all a blank slate when we're born. As I say, there are statistical differences between groups, differences in behaviour. What this shows is that there are differences in the likelihood of being psychotic between races. That's what this shows. It doesn't show that the NHS nurses are being racist in any way. Medical professionals have condemned these approaches as scientific illiteracy and accused policymakers of jumping on bandwagons, according to an investigation by The Telegraph. And this is the other thing. People that point out all of this and that it is anti-white and that these policies are actually harmful and anti-meritocratic, we get accused of being far-right thugs and knuckle-draggers. But in actual fact, the people that understand these things and point this out are highly intelligent. I mean, look at people like Dr. Edward Dutton, look at Jared Taylor, Dr. Kevin MacDonald, all sorts of people, Ricardo Duchesne, all these people are doctors. Our own Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson here at Radio Albion. It's intelligent people that can see the problems with this. And the people that come up with these ideas are usually activists who really aren't that intelligent. I mean, and other activists who push these ideas because it's of benefit to their particular group. I mean, I'm particularly thinking of Jews there. Jews have a history in the past of representing black organisations, black civil rights organisations. And their reason for doing that is because it divides society. It divides their competitors, effectively. So it benefits them to do this. And then, of course, you get people that don't really understand these things. They promote this. And you get, of course, you'll get black people that promote this. They think that we don't want to have too many black people put in mental hospitals. Surely some of these black people must not actually be mental. That's what it must mean. It must mean that these black people aren't actually mental and they're just being put in the hospital. Well, that's not the truth. In actual fact, it would serve people, black people, much better to have psychotic blacks secure in a mental hospital, exactly the same as it would serve black people much better to have violent black criminals locked up in prison rather than on the streets. The main victims of the increased black crime rate are black people themselves. One former NHS doctor stated, "Once a patient has psychosis, we should not perform sociology, we should perform medicine." And that's where these ideas come from, social justice, sociology. Psychiatrists have warned that elevated detention rates among black patients stem not from institutional racism, but from underlying risk factors, including social deprivation, living circumstances, and patterns of migration. So I guess what they're saying there is quite a lot of these people that turn out to be mental, that they're migrants. Is that what they're saying there? Living circumstances, social deprivation. You know, all of these things are probably also correlated with IQ, social deprivation, living circumstances. If you have a higher IQ, you're less likely to commit crime. You're more likely to be able to get on well within society. I guess you're less likely to end up being psychotic. So I would imagine that has something to do with this. And of course, they also say that when you get your young blacks that end up getting involved with the youth justice system, they'll say, well, it's because they didn't have any fathers there, because most black children are brought up without any fathers. So if they lack having that father's disciplinary hand, then they can end up running riot when they're older. But of course, that's rather the chicken and the egg question, isn't it? Because in Africa, are the fathers present? Do they have a history of marriage, one man, one woman, in the same way that we have in the West? Well, they don't, do they? So another argument could be, well, it's just the black way of producing a family is different to the white way of producing a family. And that's the reason why the fathers aren't there. And that's the reason why they end up being more likely to commit crimes. The root of it isn't the fact that the fathers aren't there. The root of it is the fact that they're just more likely to commit crimes, in the same way that the fathers are more likely not to be there. In the same way here, that they're more likely to be psychotic. But of course, they dance around this issue, and they don't say it's because black people have different mental disease rates to white people. They come up with these other factors: social deprivation, living circumstances, and patterns of migration. Medical professionals argue that the term overrepresentation carries moral implications that obscure the complex reality of mental health disparities. Well, of course it does, because if it's overrepresented, you're saying it's over the representation that we would expect for their percentage of the population. And if everybody is all equal and all the same and a blank slate at birth, then that means that they're being sent to secure mental hospitals when actually they shouldn't be sent there. I mean, that's what they're implying. So it does have these moral implications. They point to multiple contributing factors beyond alleged NHS prejudice, such as family breakdown, exclusion from education, absent fathers, and cannabis consumption. So there you go. They're pointing out these factors that also correlate with low IQ. And where they say the alleged NHS prejudice, I mean, this is their answer to all of this, isn't it? You look at the David Lammy report from a few years back, and the allegation that it is making is that the police and the judges are racist, and that's why there are more black people in prison. The allegation here is that the NHS are prejudiced and racist, and that's why there are more black people in secure mental hospitals. And that's just not the truth, is it? Aside from the fact that white people generally aren't racist anyway, because we want to treat everybody equally, we want to be colorblind, we want to help people, we're a charitable race. I mean, we're almost defined by how charitable we are as white people. But beyond that, we also have all these programs in the NHS and in the police and in all the public services, all these diversity, inclusion and equity programs, which mean that if anybody does show any prejudice, any whatsoever, microaggressions, whatever, then they're going to be thrown out of their job. So they're not very likely to be taking out their racist anger on black people that need to be sectioned. They need to be sectioned. And in the case of this Valo Calicane, he wasn't sectioned and he went on to murder three white people. Professor Sir Robin Murray, a leading psychosis researcher at King's College London, acknowledged political pressure exists to lower sectioning rates for black individuals. However, he emphasized that health conditions affect different racial groups in distinct ways, noting that black people face heightened risks of both sickle cell anemia and prostate cancer, without accusations of racism being leveled at specialists treating those conditions. And that's a good point there. And this prostate cancer, I mean, recently the British government have just said we're not going to provide prostate cancer screening for everybody, but we are going to provide prostate cancer screening for black people. And of course, straight away, people will say, why are black people being given a preferential treatment? Well, black people are twice as likely to have prostate cancer. And also, as people get older, their PSA reading goes up, and it's that PSA reading that doctors look at to say, well, is this indicative of prostate cancer or is it not? And if it goes up and it's above what it should be, a lot of people will panic and they'll say, oh, God, I've got cancer. I need to get treatment. Give me all the treatment that you can. And in quite a few cases, they need not have actually had that treatment. They need not have actually had that biopsy. The biopsy ends up actually giving them prostate cancer. So to just give everybody a screening, there would be probably about 10% told that they might have cancer when they actually didn't have cancer. And that could be more harmful. I mean, that's the reason why it's not given to everybody, I think. But black people are twice as likely to have it, black men are, than white people. So this is the reason why they need to be screened more effectively. It's just a sensible policy. It's not a racist policy. But what he's pointing out here is there are these differences between people groups. And if it's a physical difference, like sickle cell anemia or prostate cancer, there's no accusations of racism. But where it's something to do with mental health, there is an accusation of racism. And it's the same with criminality, isn't it? Where there is a elevated criminality amongst a people group, anybody who points that out is then accused of racism, and they'll try to find any other excuse for the fact that people are being jailed more, other than the fact of the matter, which is they're just more likely to commit crime. In the same way, men are more likely to commit crime than women. Black people are more likely to commit violent crime than white people. Chinese and Japanese people are less likely to commit violent crime than white people. It's a fact that we just see these different statistics among these different groups. When it comes down to crime, they also measure the number of victims of these crimes. And that is the same as the number of black criminals that are locked up for violent crimes. So it's not that people are making false allegations. It's not that the police are locking innocent people up. It's just the fact that black people commit more violent crime than white people. And black people, as it says here, are 3.5 times more likely to have be psychotic and have mental health problems than white people. The matter has attracted intense scrutiny during the ongoing Nottingham inquiry examining Valdo Calacane's fatal attacks on students Barnaby Webber, Grace O'Malley Kumar and caretaker Ian Coates in June 2023. Calacane, who suffered from paranoid schizophrenia, had repeatedly declined medication, yet was not detained following a previous violent episode, with mental health staff citing the overrepresentation of black men in custody as justification. And this is the same reason as why Rudy Cabano wasn't arrested with a knife when he was caught on the bus with a knife, because of the overrepresentation of young black men prosecuted for having knives. The headmistress of the school tried to get him referred and was told, you're just being racist, you're seeing a black youth there with a knife, and you've got racist fears. And we've got the same here. So Rudy Cabana was able to go out and carry out a massacre because of fear of racism. Calacane was able to go out there and carry out a massacre for fear of racism, because of these diversity, inclusion and equity policies. A former physician who worked at the same trust treating Calacane revealed that regulators visited his ward shortly before the killings and informed him there were too many black patients present. He literally went there and said, you've got too many black people here. That's not going to provide an equitable outcome. That's not equitable. You need to section less black people. The end result is murder. Several doctors drew parallels with the Rotherham grooming gang scandal, where police failed to intervene against predominantly South Asian perpetrators due to fears of racism accusations. Psychiatrists contend that restricting detentions based on race ultimately harms the very patients these policies aim to protect, denying them essential care while simultaneously elevating risks to public safety. Well, it seems to me that these people that come out with these policies, they really don't have any concern about public safety or about care for the person involved, for the patient involved. All they are concerned about with is trying to create this fantasy world where there are no differences between races, where there are no differences between life outcomes for different races, which, of course, is not possible because the natural world isn't like that. Professor Murray drew an analogy with cancer treatment, telling the Telegraph, it's akin to saying that it's very unfortunate that so many black patients are having treatment for prostate cancer, so we should decrease the number having operations. That is the same, isn't it? As telling them, well, no, you can't have prostate cancer, because if you have prostate cancer, that would mean more of you have got prostate cancer than white people. So that can't be true, can it? Everybody's the same. We're all equal. So it goes against the general idea of people that everyone is a blank slate, really. Black people have an increased risk of sickle cell anemia and prostate cancer, and we are not saying that urologists are racist. Peter Carter, former chief executive of the Central and Northwest London Mental Health NHS Trust, described decisions not to detain black patients on racial grounds as indefensible and racist, insisting that clinicians must be held to account. An epidemiology professor warned that attributing all detention disparities to institutional racism does not pass the sniff test and risks denying treatment to those genuinely requiring it. I'm wondering why he says that to not detain the black patients on racial grounds is racist. I mean, it's bizarre, isn't it? We're all tied up with what's racist and what's racist. And we forget the important things, which are treating people when they need help. Lord Sewell, who chaired the 2020 Commission on Race and Ethnic Disparities, accused UK public health research of being captured by American critical race theory and influenced by activists promoting urban myths regarding the treatment of black men. He said, "For too long, we have listened to race activists who have said that black men are being locked up because the system is racist." He argued that community orders frequently provide young men with positive outcomes, though such stories remain overshadowed by the negative narratives. Swaran Singh, an NHS consultant and Warwick University's psychiatry professor, maintained that treatment decisions should be guided by clinical requirements rather than ethnicity. A diagnosis of serious mental illness should not become a shield that allows people to repeat offences just because they have a mental illness, Professor Singh said. So lots of sensible things being pointed out there. And it's the same with a prisoner. If somebody's guilty of carrying out a crime and a prison sentence is what you should get for it, they should be given the prison sentence. I mean, it's just common sense. You can't say, oh, well, we've got too many black people in prison, so I'm afraid we're not even going to bother arresting you. And what's the end result of that? Well, more black people will become the victims of violent crime, probably some white people as well. What's the end result of this policy in the mental health service? Well, it means that psychotic black people, instead of being sectioned, are on the streets where they're likely to cause harm to other members of their black community. So these policies that they claim to help ethnic minorities and they don't help ethnic minorities in any way. As I say, I have another article that I wanted to bring up here about these two-tier issues where you get different treatment if you're white than if you are black. And this is an interesting one because this literally happened in front of him. And this is the Iceland boss, the boss of Iceland. For our American listeners, Iceland is it's a supermarket that mainly sells frozen food, basically. It's quite a large supermarket in Britain. The headline says, "Iceland boss fumes at two-tier policing after staff member handcuffed by officers over phony racism complaint." So even this has echoes of the Henry Novak case, doesn't it? In fact, I was going to use this yesterday with the when the topic was Henry Novak, but I ended up talking for too long on the police's attempt to cover up the fact that Henry Novak was not a racist. They were trying to portray him as a racist, so I didn't get a chance to actually do this article. Iceland's boss has been left furious as police officers scrambled to a shop within minutes of receiving a phony racism accusation and handcuffed a staff member. And I dare say they would have turned up mob-handed as well. This is another thing that people have pointed out, that when Henry Novak was arrested, there were four police that turned up for this allegation of racism. But if you phone up and say that you've been robbed or your house has been burgled, you won't even get one police officer come out. I mean, this is evidence of a two-tier system. And yet we still have politicians claiming that we don't have a two-tier system in Britain. So Malcolm Walker, the founder of Iceland Supermarkets, has accused the Metropolitan Police of operating a two-tier system after officers handcuffed one of his staff members within minutes of receiving a bogus racism complaint. The billionaire entrepreneur revealed the incident occurred at his Enfield store in North London, where an Asian supervisor was detained by police who arrived just 3 minutes after a customer made a false allegation of racial abuse. So Malcolm told the Mail on Sunday, "There is two-tier policing. It isn't just happening on the streets." He said he felt compelled to speak publicly following the death of Henry Novak, the 18-year-old student who was restrained by officers while dying after his killer falsely claimed racist abuse. The confrontation began when the supervisor spotted a man removing milk bottles from a refrigerator, opening them, and replacing them on the shelf. So Malcolm explained, the next thing, the guy is on his phone claiming he has been racially abused. So it's exactly the same thing, isn't it? Somebody carries out a crime. They're concerned that they might be prosecuted for the crime. So their response is to phone the police up and say they've been racially abused. Somebody has been racist towards me. And I said yesterday, I wonder how many other instances of this there has been that haven't actually been picked up on, in the same way as when this happened to Henry Novak. And straight away, we have another incident of it happening here in Iceland. And I'm sure it must be happening every day that there are false accusations of racism. I mean, it's a very easy way to get yourself out of trouble, isn't it? Is to just say, oh, well, I was a victim of racism, Your Honour. That's why I responded in that way. That's the reason why I hit him. That's the reason why I stabbed him, because he said a racist word. And you can just make this up on the spot, couldn't you? If you weren't white. If you're white and you say, oh, this guy was being racist to me and he cut my arm off with a chainsaw, the police and the courts are not even going to charge the person with a racially aggravated hate crime. And this actually happened. A guy was using a chainsaw, a white guy. And a group of, I think they were Pakistani heritage, certainly migrant heritage males, called him a white bastard and all these white slur words, and attacked him. I think they cut his hand off with his chainsaw. And this was all in a road rage incident. And in the court case that followed, it wasn't even seen as being racially aggravated. So if you're non-white, you can claim something's racially aggravated. If you're a white person, like the white victims of the grooming gangs, if you claim that your rape was racially aggravated, nothing will be done about it. Not one of those grooming gangs has been prosecuted as a racially aggravated crime. So just the fact that we have this term, racially aggravated, that in itself shows that we have a two-tier system. Officers arrived within 3 minutes and immediately placed the employee in handcuffs before taking him to a police vehicle. The staff member was held for approximately 2 to 3 hours before the matter was dropped entirely. I guess they must have had video footage. But surely the staff in the shop would have said, well, no, he wasn't being racist, and this person was pulling the bottle tops off the bottles of milk. But the fact is, the police have been told that if somebody makes an allegation of racism, then that allegation must be true. Because if somebody, it's up to a black person to decide whether somebody has been racist to that black person or not. And that's literally the guidance that they're given. They're told that it's up to a Jew to decide whether something's anti-Semitic. It's up to a black person to decide whether something is racist or not. And the end result of that is that the person that's claiming the racism or the anti-Semitism must be correct. And who they have said was racist towards them is the one that needs to be investigated. And that's the way that it's looked at. It's kind of like the Me Too movement, when they were saying, believe every woman. Every woman must be believed. Every victim must be believed. And this racist policy actually came out after the investigation into Stephen Lawrence. I think it's called the McPherson Inquiry with the police. And the end result was that if somebody feels that somebody has acted racist against them, that has to be investigated, even if it's not a crime. And that's what led to these non-crime related hate incidents that the police were spending all their time on and that were following people around as if it was a criminal record, when it's not even a crime. Just that somebody felt that something that somebody said or did might have been motivated by a dislike of race. And it's incredible how anti-common sense our society has become. So Malcolm described the response as madness and questioned why police felt compelled to restrain and detain an employee based solely on an unsubstantiated accusation. Of course, the police have been told it doesn't need to be substantiated. If somebody's black and they say somebody was racist towards me, they're the victim and they must be believed. The victim must be believed. Otherwise, it's victim blaming, isn't it? The Iceland founder painted a grim picture of the dangers facing retail workers on a daily basis. Every week we have reports of violence, members of staff being punched, threatened with a hypodermic needle or a knife. It is out of control, he said. Sir Malcolm added that his employees often do not bother contacting police because it appears to make little difference. Violence against shop staff is rampant. Never in a million years would police be there in 3 minutes for that, he stated. And I think this is what all non-whites now know as well. They know that if they make an accusation of racism, the police will be there mob-handed immediately. They will believe everything that they've said without questioning it. And they will investigate the person that they've told is being racist. And we have it here with somebody taking the lids off milk bottle tops. And then we also have it with Henry Novak. We have it with Digvar, the guy that murdered Henry Novak, calling up the police and saying, oh, it was racism. The police were there straight away. And instead of calling emergency services for the stabbing victim, they pulled out, they handcuffed the stabbing victim and then started going through his phone, trying to find evidence of the supposed racism. This is the reason why these things are going on. It's this diversity, inclusion and equity initiative. And in the police, it's the results of the Stephen Lawrence investigation. The contrast between the rapid response to the racism allegation and the apparent indifference to physical attacks on workers formed the crux of his complaint. The Metropolitan Police rejected Sir Malcolm's characterisation of their response, stating, "We police London without fear or favour and strive to serve all communities equally. All operational decisions are grounded in legal principles." And they're correct. You know, it was Tony Blair's Equality Act that said that every civil service had to pursue equality. And when they look at equality, they say, well, that means equality of outcome, which means equity, effectively. So when the police say here, we strive to serve all communities equally, what they mean is we strive to give an equal outcome. Therefore, we're not going to arrest black people, and accusations of racism we're going to treat as more serious than anything else. So it goes down to the instructions that are actually given to the police. And the same as the instructions that are given to the mental health services, as we saw earlier today. It's not the doctors that don't want to section the black psychopaths. It's their instructions that tell them that they shouldn't, because they have too many black psychopaths in hospital, because it looks suspicious, because there's more of them than their percentage of the population. And it's the same with black people in prison. It looks suspicious because it's more of their population, their percentage of the population. The fact is, they're more likely to commit violent crimes. And the fact is, they're more likely to be psychotic. But the police, they've been told, they haven't been told that. They've been told that they have to get these numbers down, because otherwise it looks racist. And you don't want to be accused of racism if you're a police officer. The force confirmed that following the Enfield incident, a man in his 20s was arrested on suspicion of a public order offence. So he wasn't arrested for fake accusation of racism then. And this is the other point. Fake accusations of racism need to be treated extremely severely to prevent the chance of there being any. I mean, if you're a black person and somebody white carries out an offence against you, say, if you say it was motivated by racism, the police can't argue against that because they've been told that the victim is always right. A victim of racism is always right. And it means that that white person is going to be charged with a racially aggravated crime and they're going to get more of a punishment. And what incentive is there for black people not to do that? What incentive is there for any non-white or any Jew, or anybody with protected characteristics, what incentive is there for them not to claim that something was racially aggravated? There's no incentive, there's no punishment if they make false accusations, no punishment whatsoever. And I think there should be a punishment, a serious punishment, for making these false accusations. So Malcolm's formal complaint about the handling of the situation was examined by both the Met and the Mayor's Office for Policing and Crime. However, the investigation concluded that his complaint was not upheld by either body. I mean, he pointed out that the police are quite clearly two-tier and treating violence against a person as not even requiring a police officer to come out, an allegation of a racist word, four police come out, mob-handed. And yet when a complaint is put in, it's not upheld. They say, no, we're not. It's not two-tier policing. There's something very, very seriously wrong with Britain's civil services, isn't there? But as I say, it comes from... I think it all stems from this promotion of equality. And that goes back before Tony Blair, but it was Tony Blair's equality bill that said that each public organisation had to be seen to be promoting diversity and promoting equality. And they've taken that to mean equality of outcome, which is the opposite of having a meritocracy where people are not judged according to the colour of their skin or what their sexuality is, but people are all judged equally. And that's what we need to go back to, a meritocracy, because that's the only thing that is equal under the law. If you're going to start coming in with these anti-racist ideas, it just means discriminating against a different group. Instead of discriminating against blacks, you're discriminating against whites. Just have everybody equal under the law and everybody equal in the way that they're looked at by doctors as well. And if people are more likely to go to mental health services because they're black, well, give them the treatment. Don't say to them, well, we're not going to section you because we've got too many black people in here already, which is effectively what the anti-racist policy has told them they must do. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.